But holiness must mean something more than that. That is why some of you probably you have been through theological arguments and thinking and all this wrestling with the doctrine of God. You came up with pretty interesting definitions by saying holiness is being like God. And so far I have not heard any statement that says holiness is freedom from sin. It was me who brought up that subject to bring it as a quality. And why is holiness being like God? Because holiness is a quality inherent in God. Inherent in God. And God says, if you want to approach me, you must be like me. And the outworking of what being like him involves freedom and separation from a lot of things. But as you come, you're being like him in holiness. Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 23, verse 16 and 17, when he was rebuking the Pharisees, and he says, you Pharisees swear in the temple and by the goal of the temple. Then in verse 17 of Matthew 23, he says, which is greater, the goal or the temple that sanctifies the goal? Because we know the answer from there. Rhetorical question. It is the temple that sanctifies the goal. Not the goal that sanctifies the temple. And so it seems to be imparted. And once it's imparted, there is a separation that takes place. Let me point to one interesting incident in the book of Leviticus. And this just brings out, this story brings out the fullness of that separation. In Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. This is one of the first accidents in the Old Testament. In the tabernacle. Because they were new to all the sacrifices. And as they began the sacrifices of animals, they had one of the first accidents. Yes, they do have accidents in the Bible. And different type of accidents because they did not follow God's word 100%. Let me just read the incident to you in Leviticus chapter 10. The two sons of Aaron in verse 1. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. In one day, when they started the priestly ministry, Aaron lost two grown-up sons. Two sons died. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. Now, in the Old Testament, if they approach God and they are not holy, the consequence is death. I wonder what the New Testament consequences are. What we have is we can't get into the realm of the spirit. By his mercy he spares physical death. But remember in the New Testament there is a particular situation in Ananias and Sapphira's case in Acts 5 when a couple actually died because they lied to the Holy Spirit. The more God shows his holiness, the closer we are to the point where non-conformity means death. So there are degrees of holiness. Now Moses said to Aaron, God says, I must be regarded as holy. And then Aaron held his peace. Now it must be a very sad day for him. Imagine losing two sons whom you have raised up all your life. I mean, emotionally, he would have been torn asunder. And then Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. And so they carried them out. And then this is, listen here, there's an interesting thing that Moses said to Aaron. Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Itamar, his sons, he got two other sons, do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, lest you die, and wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. And why did he forbid it? Because he says, for the anointing oil. Yes, he says, for the anointing oil of God is upon you. Now, notice what he said to Aaron. He didn't say, Aaron, you cannot go out because it's against the commandment of God. Full stop. He says, Aaron, you now belong to God. When you're consecrated to God, you belong to God. So in a sense, when we talk about holiness being imparted, the impartation was also an ownership claim. Remember how God says all the firstborn are now sanctified and they must give the yearly offering, and they say they get to give because I saved them, they now belong to me, they must pay me for their lives. So with impartation comes possession and ownership. Our blood circulates to our organs and tissues in our body. When, let's say, they do a hand transplant or something, nowadays they have hand transplant, it's easy to illustrate. Somebody lost their hand, right? Somebody lost their hand in a war or in something, in some accident, and so the hand ends in a stump. And so, today's doctors got a donated hand and sew it together. But for the hand to function, the body needs to be supplying it. The body to which the hand is attached to needs to supply it with oxygen, blood vessels, nerve signals, etc. In other words, the body needs to accept the hand and make it part of its own. You can attach it, but if the body rejects it, it's gone. Which is why many of those who have transplanted organs, they have to constantly throughout their life take immune suppression drugs so that their body don't reject the foreign tissue that is attached to them, to make the body accept that as the body's hand. When there is impartation, there is also ownership. God claims ownership. If you examine Acts chapter 5 very carefully, the reason why Ananias and Sapphira died, pure and simple, not just because they lied to the Holy Spirit, there was an occasion for them to lie. What was behind it? See, the story is that they had a piece of land somewhere, and they had actually sold the land and dedicated the entire land to God. Now, if they didn't dedicate it to God, and they said, look, we only want to give this portion, could be a tithe, an offering, just give this portion to God, the rest is ours, they wouldn't have died. But what they did was they said, the entire portion is the Lord's. They came back part of what they have given to the Lord. In other words, they give and they one hand take back. And then they come and told Peter and says, this is the whole thing. And then Peter says, you know, why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, what's happening here is that they have given to the Lord, the Lord's claim possession, and then they stole from the Lord. So what's happening is, they're actually stealing back from the Lord by keeping back. They died. They died on the spot. That is why when the Lord imparts, here is Aaron. Aaron dedicated himself to God. So God puts His anointing all on him. When God puts His anointing all on him, what is God saying? Illustration. Let's say this is Aaron. Good example because he has this beard, right? Aaron has a beard. I'm disqualified. And in the book of Psalms 133, it says like the anointing all that runs down to the beard of Aaron. It's a nice long beard. Some of you have beards, right? It's in fashion today. And there's one more beard there. Praise God. So when He anoints, it runs down. Now, when He anoints, there is an impartation. God's, quote-unquote, nerve cells or whatever, connection system or whatever system, zoom moves into that. But that now belongs to God. So the next time you anoint something, think very carefully. Because when you say, I dedicate something to the Lord, it's a one-way street. You ever heard of one-way streets before? Yes, there are some of them around. You got only one way to go, and there's no way coming back. In fact, in the Bible, it says that when those Old Testament people, when they bring their tithe to the Lord, it says all the animals, because they don't use money much, they use animals and butter trade. They do use some money, some gold and silver, but not in everything, not as organized as today, in today's society. So when they tithe, some of their tithes come in vegetables, in fruits, and in animals. So the Lord has a requirement in the Old Testament where it says, when you tithe your animal, you must let your animal pass by, and then you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is the Lord's. And then next, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is the Lord. And the Lord knows how sneaky, how sly, how subtle human beings are, and says, when you do that, make sure you don't look around for the weakest number 10. Or some old lamb that's about to conk out. They say that's number 10. The Lord said you must do it at random, right? As they pass by and count it at random. And then the interesting thing the Lord says towards the end of the book Leviticus when he talks about the tithing, he says, when number 10 happens to your favorite sheep. Now, if you own animals and your farmers, sometimes you tend to have favorite animals, right? So, a particular sheep, a particular chicken or something, you name it after yourselves. So, that's Henry running around, right? So, when you're counting your chickens, number 10 is Henry. You say, oh no, Henry! And you say, and you want Henry back, right? The Lord says, you can buy Henry back from him. You can. At a set price plus on top another 20% or something like that. And so the moment you count Henry and Henry runs by, you're counting your chickens and they run by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's Henry, your favorite chicken. The chicken who took to bed with you, slept with you, carried and cuddled all the time, your favorite little chicken. And so you count number 10 as Henry. Now, all of you look very surprised as if you never have pet chickens before, right? And but some people do have pet chickens before. I remember when I was small and my mother kept chickens in a backyard. And guess what my job was when I was a young little boy? I had to scrub the chicken coop. Right. I never liked that job. Right? And I had to scrub it. And so I remember there's one chicken that my mom says, this is your chicken. This is your chicken. And I always fed my chicken extra. Right. So I like my chicken. So, I forgot what happened to that chicken. We ate him, right? So, but let's say you have your pet chicken and Henry, your chicken, is number 10. And you do not want to let Henry die. And you know what God says? Henry is now His chicken. If you want Henry, pay for it. So, you got to actually buy it back from the Lord. So, when the Lord anoints and consecrates, the Lord says, you are also now His. So it's imparted. Imparted means something came forth to make you holy. Nothing came from you to make yourself holy. You could literally keep all the Ten Commandments. You could literally live your life righteously. Now we're going to touch on the word righteous too, somewhere in this series. And you could live, quote unquote, in the eyes of the world, an upright life. And yet not be holy. Isn't that an interesting concept? It is, you know, holiness results in an upright life, but an upright life is not necessarily holiness. The logic behind is this.